Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Lord willing, we're going to be studying about being deceived. It's very easy sometimes to be deceived, and other people, it's very hard to deceive them. There are some people that are very, very gullible, and they're very easy to deceive, and then there are other people that it's very difficult to deceive them. There are things that you can do as a child of God that will help keep you from being deceived by the devil. However, I want to say that I believe that everybody here, at one time or another, and probably many times, that you have been deceived by the devil. The devil is the number one deceiver, and his intent and purpose of deceiving you is to destroy our lives. And I pray that God will help us as we study the Word of God to understand that the devil deceives us, and then the devil sometimes will use people to deceive us. Other people can deceive us. And then sometimes the Bible talks about we deceive ourselves. So I pray that God will help us as we think about being deceived and about deceiving ourselves. First of all, I want to give you the definition of what it means to be deceived. To deceive someone means to make a person believe as true something that is false. Make you believe that something's true that's false. Reading now from God's Word from Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Let me just pause right there to say that he looked like a lamb, and he sounded like a dragon. Now, the word lamb in the Word of God, the ultimate lamb that is mentioned in the Word of God, is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You remember that John the Baptist, when he began preaching, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so the Word of God here says that this beast that came up out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, the word dragon in the Word of God usually has reference to the devil. So we have this beast coming up out of the earth, and he looks like a lamb, but he sounds like a dragon. If you don't know the voice of Jesus, you'll follow this beast, which is a representative of the devil himself, but you'll follow the devil, and the whole time you'll think that you're following Jesus Christ. The most effective way for you to never be deceived, or for you to reduce the number of times that you are deceived by the devil, is for you to study the Word of God carefully, because as we read and study the Word of God, we learn truth that will keep us from being deceived by the devil. So this beast, and this beast that came up, there are two beasts. One came up out of the sea. The other came up out of the earth. The one that ruled over that beast that came out of the sea and out of the earth, the one that ruled over those two beasts was the dragon, who is the devil himself. So you have the devil, you have these two beasts that are coming up. One out of the earth is the one that we're looking at right now. He looks like a lamb, but he talks like the dragon. If you don't know the Word of God, you're going to follow this beast. Verse 12 says, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." Now that first beast, again, is part of the devil's regime. That first beast had been wounded, but he was healed. And the second beast caused the people that dwelled in the earth, caused them to begin to worship the first beast. Can you imagine worshiping the devil? There are a lot of devil worshipers. In fact, sometimes everybody here has bowed down to the devil. Verse 13, talking about the power that this beast had and them worshiping the other beast. Verse 13 says, "And he," that's this beast that came up out of the earth, part of the devil's regime, "he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, this beast caused fire to come down from heaven. Do you remember anybody in the Old Testament that called for fire to come down from heaven? What was his name? Elijah. Elijah, remember, was he went against the prophets of Baal. They built an altar and they dug a trench around that altar and they poured all the water on the altar and on the sacrifice. And he told the Philistines, "Now call on your God. Let's see him partake of that offering." And they called on their gods and they screamed and they yelled and they cut themselves, but nothing happened to the altar or to the sacrifice. And then Elijah called for fire to come down from heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice and the stones and the altar and lapped up the water and the dust. The fire came down from heaven as Elijah, the man of God, called for fire to come down from heaven. Now, do you see that there's a reason that this beast called for fire to come down from heaven? It was to deceive the people of God, because earlier, and they knew the word of God, they knew that Elijah had called for fire to come down from heaven, and the devil is going to do everything he can to imitate Jesus Christ and to imitate God. And so he called for fire to come down from heaven, and fire came down from heaven. I want you to know, brethren, if you're going to follow what you think, what you see, and what you feel, you will follow the devil. You will not follow God. If your faith is based on what you see and what you think and what you feel, you will follow the devil. Does the devil have the power to call for fire to come down from heaven? Did he do it right here? And his intent and his purpose was, what's the word we're looking at today? His intent and purpose was to deceive the people. And I think that was one of the most effective ways to deceive the people, was to call for fire to come down from heaven. Because if you and I don't know the word of God and we saw someone call for fire to come down from heaven, I think you and I would conclude that's a man of God. I'm going to do what he says. So he called for fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men. Verse 14 says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those," what's the next word there? Miracles. Did you know the devil has the power to perform miracles? Does God certainly perform miracles? Without a doubt. Now, if you are the devil and you have the power to call for fire to come down from heaven, you're going to call for fire to come down from heaven. If you have the power to perform miracles, you're going to perform miracles. Why are you going to do those things? To deceive the people of God. Because most of the people of God think the devil does not have such great power. The devil has more power than you and I can comprehend. God is more powerful, but the devil has power. And if you don't stay close to the Lamb, the dragon will eat you up. He will destroy your life. He will deceive you. Because he can do things that you will conclude, that's God. That's the Lord leading. That's God telling me what to do. And the whole time, you're doing something that's completely against what God's word says. The devil's got a lot of power, and the devil is deceiving a lot of God's dear children today. And the devil can call for fire to come down from heaven, and the devil can perform miracles. And if you're not careful, you will be deceived, and you will be destroyed by the deceiver, the devil. What is the devil's purpose? Jesus tells us the devil is a liar and a murderer. You remember back there in Genesis chapter 3. You remember in Genesis chapter 2, God had told Adam and Eve, he says that in the day that thou eatest of that forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely what? Die. And the devil comes along in Genesis chapter 3 and tells the woman, you will not surely die. Did he lie? But did she believe him? What does the word deceive mean? It means to make a person believe as true something that is false. Did the devil lie? Did he get her to believe that he was telling the truth? Did the devil deceive Eve? The New Testament tells us that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. Eve believed what the devil said. And I pray that God will help us to understand the devil is real. God is real. The devil is powerful. God is more powerful. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But I'm telling you, the devil is powerful. And he can deceive you without you staying very close to God and without you studying God's word. He'll make you believe things are true that are not true at all. Many of God's people today have been led down paths and believe things that are found nowhere in God's word. How do they do that? How does the devil get them to believe false doctrines? It's because they don't know the word of God. It sounds good, and a lot of people say it, so it must be true. Oh, especially if it comes from the pulpit, it must be true. Tell you, brethren, the devil has more people probably in the pulpits today than God does in America. The devil's got people in the pulpits. The devil has preachers and the devil has deacons that are going around deceiving people. A lot of people that are being deceived because they don't know the word of God. He looks like a what? What's he look like? Looks like a lamb. And if you don't know his voice real good, you'll say, you know, I believe that's the Lord talking to me. I heard his voice. Well, he spoke to me. The problem is when somebody speaks to you and it does not harmonize with God's word, you have just been spoken to by the devil. And if you don't know the word of God and you're not going to follow the word of God, you'll follow the devil. And the whole time, what are you thinking? I'm following Jesus. It's the Lord's doing. Verse 15, after it says that the devil was able to do those miracles. Let me read all of 14. And he deceiveth them. He deceiveth them. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power. This is the devil, the beast. He had power to give life. Absolutely amazing. It has to be God. It has to be God. Why? Why do you think it has to be God? Because he gave life. Wouldn't that deceive you if you saw somebody raise someone from the dead? If you saw somebody give life, wouldn't you think, well, this has to be of God? People are basing their beliefs and their thoughts and their actions and they're following what they see and what they hear and what they feel instead of knowing the Lord. Following him, it is easy to be deceived. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Do you know the only ones that didn't worship the image of the beast are the Christians that were so close to God, they knew it was of the devil. And many, many of their brothers and sisters in Christ despised them because of the position that they held that was contrary to what they thought and what they felt and what they wanted to do. And so they followed the beast, and the beast destroyed them. But the people will kill the Christians, and that's what happened to the disciples of Jesus because they hated the real Christians. They thought they were following. Who did they think they were following? They thought they were following God. Here's what the scripture says. They thought they were doing God service. They thought they were pleasing the Lord. I think the Apostle Paul, when he was killing Christians, I think he thought he was doing God's service. I think many other people that despise and hate truth, I think they think that they're following truth, when in fact they're following error. So there's a great conflict going on in the world today. And there are many, even the so-called Christian world is greatly divided today. And it's divided because people don't know truth. The truth will set you free from following that beast. Can churches be deceived? Can a whole church be deceived? Back up just a few pages in your Bible. We're back up to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. We'll look at just a moment. In fact, if you'll look at least five of these churches, at least five of these churches were deceived. The majority of those churches and the majority of the people in each church were deceived. I do not believe the majority of those people were not children of God. I believe they were children of God, but they were children of God that were deceived. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, here's what Jesus says to the church at Laodicea. He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now, what did the church say about herself? "I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." What did Jesus say? "You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Was there a difference in what Jesus said and what they thought about themselves? Do you know why they thought that about themselves? Because they had been deceived by the devil. Let me tell you something, brethren. Every one of us needs to carefully examine ourselves, because we're being deceived in many ways in our lives. And unless we repent, we'll be destroyed. Do you see that these other churches, they were deceived? One church at Sardis, they had a name that they lived, looked alive, full of people, no doubt, growing, maybe building new buildings. He says, "You've got a name that you live, but you're dead." Were a lot of people deceived as they looked at the church at Sardis? Was the church at Sardis deceived about herself? Who deceived them? It was the devil that deceived those churches. Back up in your Bibles very quickly, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Please look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 13. I want us to understand the power of the devil. I want us to understand, as we read from 2 Corinthians 13, that the devil has power to call for fire to come down from heaven. He has the power to give life. He has the power to perform miracles. The devil has a lot of power. The devil has a lot of people in pulpits. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. The Word of God says, "For such are false apostles." Are there true apostles? Were there true apostles? "But in that same day that there were true apostles," the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "there are false apostles." Do you think they look alike? Do they look alike? Do they sound alike in many, many ways? Do you think a false apostle will be very appealing to your flesh? You think a false apostle probably is going to look good, and he could be ugly like me too, but I'm telling you, the devil knows how to appeal to you. I know that early in my ministry, somebody gave me a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, by Norman Vincent Peale, and I got Teresa to read it and tell me what it said. And I want you to know, brethren, you can't follow that and always stand up for Jesus. You can't be everybody's friend and follow what God's Word says. You cannot be a true disciple of Jesus. You cannot be a true Christian and everybody love you. They'll hate you. Best Christian that's ever lived was Jesus Christ Himself. And He was hated. He was hated the most. He wasn't hated because He came to die on the cross of Calvary. He wasn't hated because He healed people. He wasn't hated because He performed miracles and raised the dead. He was hated because He confronted people with sin. That's what caused Him to be hated. He would tell the people, "What you're doing is wrong." Does that make people like you? Not at all. But is it necessary? Is that what we're supposed to do, is try to help one another and work with one another? Because we love one another. Because we love the Lord. Because we know somebody's out there trying to get us. Satan is as a roaring lion. He's going to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. And he's devouring a lot of God's dear children today. A lot of young people are being devoured by the devil. The devil's a deceiver. He's a devourer. And we need to know the devices of the devil in our lives, or else he will devour us. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." I never noticed this till last night in studying and thinking and meditating on this week. But that says deceitful workers. Now, the thing that stood out was deceitful, but they're workers. A lot of Christians are L-A-Z-Y. Everybody hear what I just said? Can't spell good. It's lazy. The devil's workers are not lazy. The devil's workers are workers. They're deceitful workers, but they're workers. They're busy. And true Christians are busy. They're workers. And they can tell the difference in the devil's workers and the Lord's workers. And there's nobody that's perfect. Don't get the idea that you're going to find this perfect Christian, because they just don't exist. And if you're going to find fault with everybody and mark them off your list just because they've got this fault and that fault and this problem, I'm not talking about overlooking ungodliness, gross ungodliness, but you cannot nitpick with people and ever be a Christian. The Bible says that charity covers a multitude of sins. That is, you might offend me, I say, it's all right. You might offend me again, it's all right. We just keep forgiving each other. Do you understand? All these personal offenses and little things people do that make you mad, you better learn to have some charity. Because if you don't have charity, people aren't going to have charity towards you either. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're doing what? Transforming. Remember, I've seen some little children with little things, and it'll look like a man, and then they go to working it, and guess what it does? Turns into a what? A car. How in the world did that man turn in? I could never do it. They'd hand it to me, and I could never get it to do that. But they were called transformers, I think, weren't they? They were transformed. They would change from a man to a car, or a car back to a man, moving it around, moving the parts around. Well, brethren, the devil is transformed. And when he's transformed, he looks just like the Lord's servant. It's no wonder that he says they're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." You look at an angel of light, what do you automatically conclude? An angel of light, messenger from God. God, it may be Jesus himself. And the devil is transformed into an angel of light. Does he look just like Jesus? Verse 15 says, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers," that is the devil's ministers. Does the devil have ministers? Workers, deceitful workers? Yes, he does. "It's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." The devil and his angels, they are deceitful workers. Deceitful work. Back up in your Bibles very quickly to Matthew chapter 24. Please look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 24. I want you to notice, as Jesus is here describing the destruction of Jerusalem and talking about how he's going to bring his judgments on Jerusalem and the temple. The temple was going to be destroyed. Do you know why the temple was going to be destroyed? Do you know why Jerusalem was going to be destroyed? It's because the people of God had begun to worship devils, demons. And what did they think they were worshiping? They thought they were worshiping God. Matthew 24, here's what Jesus says as he warns them about the destruction of Jerusalem that was about to take place. In Matthew chapter 24, and I believe, brethren, these words are just as applicable to you and I today, to you and me today, as they were to these people then, because the destruction that came on Jerusalem in 70 AD, that same destruction is about to come on the United States of America. And the only people that were spared in the destruction of Jerusalem are those that knew the difference in the beast, the dragon, and the lamb. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, the Word of God says, "And Jesus," Matthew 24, verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed." What does "take heed" mean? Be careful, beware, look out, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, we started out in Revelation 13 and Revelation 3 and 2 Corinthians 11. We started out just talking about the devil himself deceiving us. Now, The devil has these ministers that are transformed into angels of light and to messengers of God. And so people often are used by the devil to deceive us. People. Can a girl deceive a boy? Can a boy deceive a girl? Can a preacher deceive a congregation? Can a congregation deceive a preacher? Can you deceive me? Can you deceive me? Can I deceive you? Absolutely. At least for a little while. Eventually it'll come to light. Darkness will be exposed. Take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5 says, for many shall come in my name. They're coming in the name of the Lord. They're coming in the name of Jesus, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Why will they deceive the people? Because the people don't have their senses exercised to distinguish between good and evil. You remember what Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 says? It says the people were unskillful in the word of God, and their spiritual senses were not able to tell the difference in good and evil. Therefore, whenever he comes along and he says, I'm of Christ, and he deceives the people and leads them astray. Verse 11, Matthew 24, verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Come down to verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Are these men going to be able to do great signs and wonders? Absolutely. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, what kind of men were these going about that were deceiving the children of God? Would you say they were, and I'm going to put it in quotation marks, but would you say they were religious men? Yes, they were religious men. This idea about religious being only related to, there are all kinds of religion. The Apostle Paul said that when he was a Jew killing Christians, he was good in the Jews' religion. Muslims have their religion. There are false Christians. They have their religion, but it's not based on a thus saith the Lord. Not all of it. Now, they'll have enough thus saith the Lord to trick a lot of people. Religious men can deceive the people of God. The devil and his angels are going around seeking to destroy and devour you. I think we're going to stop there. I have about 6 months of preaching on being deceived. I'm serious. Don't laugh too hard. And some of it, as we go along, some of it, I will almost guarantee you that some of you are going to get very angry, because I'm going to identify some specific ways that I see that some of us are being deceived in our lives. Now, you can come to me and you can talk to me about ways you see I'm being deceived, but I have a responsibility as your pastor for us to all talk about ways we're being deceived. And if I can show you that from God's Word, then I pray that you'll receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God, and not the words of men. So we'll continue tonight studying about being deceived. Pray that God will help us to come and worship God and study His Word, that we might not be deceived any further. My prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
We'll continue our study. We began this morning trying to look at the subject of us being deceived and the fact that Satan is a great deceiver. Satan has tremendous power to be able to deceive people. He has the power. We looked at Revelation chapter 13 that talks about the fact that he has the power to perform miracles. He has the power to call for fire to come down from heaven. He has the power to give life. A lot of different things that the devil has power to do. And sometimes people that look at events, those people are deceived by looking at those events and looking at circumstances and conditions rather than looking at the Word of God. The Word of God is the greatest blessing that we have to be able to read and study. The Word of God is the number one way that we're able to not be deceived. It's a knowledge of the truth of God's Word that helps us not to be deceived. To be deceived by Satan or to be deceived by men, either one If we have a greater knowledge and understanding of the truth of God's Word, it will help keep us from being deceived. We'll begin looking tonight at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God here talks about that God has put various people in the church and given various offices in the church. And the purposes of those men primarily is to edify the body of Christ, for the body of Christ to grow in a knowledge of the truth of God's Word. It is not enough when you come to the house of God. It is not enough for you just to sing. I love to sing, love to worship God in singing, but it's not enough just to sing. It's not enough just to come and to pray. Now, I'm not saying we couldn't come sometimes and just sing and come sometimes pray, but you need, and I need, the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. And so we need to pray that God will feed us with His Word, that God will bless us to be able to hear and understand the Word of God, because it's the knowledge of the Word of God that will primarily keep us from being deceived by the devil. So in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, the Word of God says, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, or cast to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." I'll stop reading there. Notice that the purpose of the Word of God is so that we can be established in the truth. People of God can know what the facts are from the Word of God, so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I really believe that most people today, most of God's children, they can hear one preacher preach and say, "Oh, I enjoyed that so much." And then they can hear another preacher, and he preaches something that's completely contrary to the Word of God, and they can sit there and say, "Oh, I enjoyed that so much." And there's so little knowledge of the Word of God that the people of God are not established in anything. They don't know the truth. And what happens is that they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And when people are not established in the truth, the Word of God says here that there will be people that will come, and that they will begin to, by their cunning craftiness, they will lie in wait to deceive. I believe that the devil will work in a church where people are not established in the truth. The devil will send people to that church, and those people will lie in wait to deceive. They'll sit around, and they'll watch, and they'll listen, and they'll find sheep. They'll find little lambs of God that are not established in the Word of God, and they lie in wait to deceive, and then they'll gradually begin to work through those individuals to deceive them and to lead them away from the truth and away from the Word of God, and eventually lead them away from the church and away from Jesus Christ. And the purpose of all of the deceiving that the devil does and that his angels do, the purpose of all that deceiving is to destroy the lives of the people of God, even to destroy the local church. The true church of Jesus Christ cannot be destroyed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But that does not mean that any local church has complete security, because if you go back to all of the churches that we read about in the Bible, where are those churches today? They're all gone. Do you know why they're all gone? Because there were men that were lying in wait. and looking for an opportunity to begin to lead people astray, to lead them away from the Word of God, and there were not enough strong Christians in those churches. Eventually, there were not enough strong Christians, even in churches that were strong in one generation. The next generation comes along, and there was weakness, until finally, those that lie in wait to deceive, they were able to completely take over the church, and the church was destroyed, and the Spirit of God was removed from the church, and then it ceased to exist. Those are sad things that can happen to a church, but churches can be deceived. Most of those churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, they were deceived. Little by little, people began to lie in wait to deceive, and again, now it was the devil working, but he worked through people, real human beings, he worked through those people to deceive the other people of God. You know, when the devil began to tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden, when he began to tempt her, one of the things he said was, "Hath God said," you remember how he started, "Hath God really said," and then began to pose his trickery and his deceitfulness, "Has God really said that?" And I think that's the way he's working today in our lives. There's so many people that they hear something from the Word of God and they said, "Has God really said something like that?" Well, yes, God has said. God said some things that shock people when they hear what the Word of God has to say. And then those people will say, "You know, the God that I serve would not ever lead us to do anything like that." I'm telling you, brethren, the God of the Bible, if you don't know what the Bible says, and you're just going to lean to your own understanding, you will never follow the Word of God. You'll never follow truth. You will be destroyed. You'll be deceived, because it's only as you have the light of the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, it's only as you lay hold on that truth, it's only as you study and as you pray, and God gives you a knowledge of the truth, it's the truth that keeps you from being deceived and led astray and tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I pray that God will help us to be established in the truth. That's one of the purposes. That's one of my main purposes in life, is for you to be established in the truth. Now, sometimes we see people that were established in the truth, and then we begin to see them begin to go away from the truth. There are people that once stood very firmly on the truth of God's Word. There are people that they would not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. They took a biblical stand, but do you know what's happened? They've been deceived, and they've begun to just break down the walls that God set up in His Word, and they've begun to be led astray, and they've begun to do things that are contrary to the teachings of God's Word, and the whole time they think they're just being more gracious and more loving and more charitable, and the reality is they're being swallowed up by Satan. They're being destroyed, and their families are going to be destroyed. So there are those that lie in wait to deceive. And the only way that you're not going to be deceived is if you keep studying the Word of God and you always require a "Thus saith the Lord." If someone's beginning to teach you something, you need to always say, "Where is that in the Word of God? Show it to me in the Word of God." Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Still in the same book, he continues to talk about those that would lie in wait to deceive. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, "Let no man deceive you." Who did we start out studying about this morning deceiving us? Who is the one that the main one we looked at this morning? Satan deceives us. Now, we're talking about men deceiving us. Do you think that I can deceive you? Yes, I can. I can deceive you. And you have the responsibility as members of the body of Christ at the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. You have the responsibility as you hear the Word of God. You have the responsibility to receive it with all readiness of mind. And then you're to go home and study the Scriptures to see if those things are true or not. And if they're not true, then you're to come to me and you're to try to work with me to convert me to the truth of God's Word. And if you can't convert me, then you need to get the brethren together and see if the brethren can listen and see if they can establish what is truth. And then something has to be done to take a stand for truth. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Did you know flattery will get you everywhere? Everybody know what I'm talking about? That's part of human nature. You start flattering me and I'm just going to stick to you like glue. You tell me, you know, you have the prettiest brown eyes. Well, oh, really? And I'm going to go home and I'm going to look in the mirror and I'll think, well, you know, I've never really noticed how pretty my eyes are. Or, you know, your voice is just, it's like an angel speaking from heaven. Oh, really? You know what all that's doing? Now it's all right. Listen carefully. It's fine to compliment people. It's fine to say things that are honest and are true. But you and I have to be careful about saying things that are not true to butter up people and to get them to take our position or our side on something because we're flattering them. Vain words. When I go around and preach at other churches, I often hear members say, and I've learned this very quickly the first year or two that I started preaching. Somebody that comes up to you at a church where you're preaching a meeting and they say, oh, Brother Mullis, that's the most wonderful sermon I've ever heard. You know what I know? You know what I usually know? Back up and take two steps backwards and first of all, remember this. The devil wants the preacher to get a big head, and so he can begin to think he's done something. And the other thing is that usually a person that begins to do all these flowery talking and give you a lot of vain words, there's usually an ulterior motive behind what they're doing. And most of those people that Brother Philip knows, he goes around, he knows the people that do all that big talking about how great you are, they're always there to nail their preacher to the wall. And usually it's because their preacher's been doing a good job, and that guy's a demon in the church. He's either an angel that's been transformed into a messenger of righteousness or an angel of light, or else he's a child of God that's been led astray and he's on the wrong path and he's out to destroy the pastor. And what's he going to do? He'll say it right in front of the preacher. He'll say, oh, it's been years since we've heard a sermon like that. He's going on and on talking about how wonderful it is to finally hear the word of God, and the poor pastor that's been laboring with them night and day and faithful and studies the word of God and preaches the word of God, he's standing there and just little heart's just broken. Most of the people that do all the flattery, they're deceitful workers to hurt, to kill, destroy. They'll give you those vain and flowery words today. Those same people that'll give you those flowery words today, they'll become your enemies when you cross them. So you and I need to pray that God will help us not to be deceived by vain words. Do vain words have an effect on us? Do words that lift us up, do they have an effect on us? Sure they do. Is it good for you to build up people? Is it good for you to encourage people? Absolutely. But you need to be careful about what your intent and motive is. And if your intent and motive is to sway them and get them on your side in an evil way, then you need to understand you're being used by the devil. Don't use vain words to get people to go in a direction that's contrary to the word of God. So he says in Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What happens? If I listen to those vain words and I'm deceived by those vain words, the wrath of God is going to come on me. Because I have listened to those vain words and been led astray from the truth by those vain words. Go with me to Titus chapter 1 very quickly. Now remember, what did Ephesians 4 establish was necessary in order to keep the people of God from being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? What did they have to have? What did they need in order to not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? What did they need? What did they need? They needed the word of God. Look at Titus chapter 1. Go forward in your Bibles about 15 or 20 pages in Titus chapter 1. Listen to verses 9, 10, and 11. The Word of God says in Titus 1, beginning in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word. Do you know what you need to hold on to? You need to hold on to the faithful word. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to say, I need to hear the Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God. I need to study the Word of God. I need God to show me the truth in His Word. I need to grow. Listen, brethren, if you haven't been growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, if you haven't been growing in a knowledge of the truth of God's Word, you're in a dangerous position. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Is there a difference? Is there unsound doctrine? Is there false doctrine? And so the only way that you're going to be able to oppose that unsound doctrine and false doctrine is that you hold on to the faithful word of God, and that you by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. You hear what he says? There are many vain talkers and deceivers. Well, what's the only thing that's going to help you not to be led astray and destroyed by them? Holding on to what? Holding on to the Word of God. Verse 11, he says that those people that are vain workers and vain talkers and deceivers, verse 11 says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre is evil money. Let me just give you a few examples of people that will say things for filthy lucre's sake. You go and you are talking with someone and visiting with someone, and you talk, you say, you know, we wash feet at the church, and I don't feel real comfortable with doing that. And the other person might say, well, we don't do that, and we would welcome you to come and be with us, and you would be a great blessing to the church. And you know what happens when people begin to church hop like that? You know why they church hop? They church hop because they're deceived by vain words, tricked, led astray. They're not established in the Word of God. And those people that use those vain words and are deceiving other people, the Word of God says you're to take the Word of God and you're to stop their mouths, to make them be quiet. You and I have a responsibility when people begin to lead people astray from the Word of God. You have a responsibility to take the Word of God and stop their mouths. That's what the Scripture is saying here. Use the Word of God. Use the Word of God. We had a little boy in the church that this past week, his teacher got to talking about evolution and talking about how the world came into existence. Some asteroids hit each other and the world began, and this, that, and the other. And the little boy says, excuse me just a minute, or this may not be exactly, I'll let him tell it to you later. But listen, brethren, he began to ask that teacher some questions. Well, where did the water come from? Well, we're not sure about that. Probably out of some of those asteroids that when they crashed together, there was probably some water that came out of them. Well, where did the people come from? Well, we're not sure. We think they might have come from some animals. Oh, where do the animals come from? Well, and then he says, well, where were all they when God was walking on the face of the earth? That's a scriptural term. And the answer was, this is not a religious class. This is a science class. He told me today, he said, I'm going to take my Bible. And he said, I have to read your science book. I want you to read my science book. Let me tell you something, brethren. I don't know how in the world an intelligent human being can believe the imagination that it takes to come up with of evolution and all this trash they're teaching in school today. You want science? This book is full of science. That's what Brother Robert was talking about earlier today. He was talking about this is a science book. It is a science book. Scientifically, we can prove that the theory of evolution is a lie. Scientifically, scientists, many scientists understand that the truth of God's Word is what science proves. But there are those who, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Another person, while that boy was talking, said, my teacher says, Some scientists say this is the way it happened. You follow? Is there a difference in you presenting evolution as a fact and saying, well, you know, some scientists say something? One teacher is holding to and adhering to the fact, I have to teach you this stuff, but this is just what some men are saying. And then he'll tell you what the facts are. Lies. Lies. You know what people will say that believe in evolution? Well, we believe God did it all. Let me tell you something, brethren. You can't believe Genesis 1 and believe the theory of evolution. Amen. They don't fit. The order that they give in the theory of evolution is contradicted by Genesis chapter 1. One or the other is right. And the one that's right is the Word of God. How have millions of people been deceived? Because of a lack of a knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. May God be true and every man a liar. Very good. Very good. I love you. That's what I wanted. May God be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter if the whole world believes. It doesn't matter if your parents believe in evolution. It doesn't matter who says it's true. It's a lie from the devil because it takes glory away from God. Go with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. The Word of God again tells us about people who deceive. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 18, the Word of God says, Romans 16 verse 18, let me read 17 and 18. Romans 16 verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Are there people that teach doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God? What does the Bible say to do to those people that cause divisions by teaching things that are not true? Mark them and what? And avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. 4, verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, that is the flesh, and the vanity that they have, and by good words, listen carefully now, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know who the simple are? They're the babes in Christ. They're the people that haven't studied the Word of God like they should. The simple ones. You ever heard of being simple-minded? Well, there are a lot of children of God that are very simple-minded. They've never studied the book enough to be able to stop the mouths. Their mouths must be stopped. There are deceivers. Let me tell you one more thing in closing. You'll have people right now in another city. I'm working with a couple. And the dear sister in Christ has many people who are telling her, you just need to divorce your husband. Now, her husband has not committed adultery. Her husband's not a perfect man. P.S., she's not a perfect woman either. But neither one of them is perfect. But you know what people are telling her? Oh, you just need to get a divorce. You need to get a divorce. And she wanted to know, was it all right with God if she got a divorce? Asked me. I said, has he committed adultery? No, he hasn't committed adultery, but you don't know what I've been going through. Well, if he hasn't committed adultery, but you don't understand. Well, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, but I don't think my God would require me to live in that mess. Well, I tell you what, there's not a husband and wife here that can't get your mess straightened out. There's not a husband and wife. Let me rephrase that. Well, I'll say there's not a husband and wife here. There's not a husband and wife Christian on this earth. There's not a Christian couple on this earth that can't get their problems straightened out. Amen. But what do the people say? What are these deceivers saying? Divorce, divorce, divorce. Start over. They've even told her people from high school that she dated in high school that really want to see her. Do you follow what I'm saying? They're vain talkers. They're deceitful workers. They're trying to destroy a home. They're not her friends. She thinks they're her friends. Some of them think they're her friends. But it's the devil working to destroy a godly couple. May God help us as his people to understand there are people who are deceivers, just like the devil is a deceiver. Now, we haven't started on the most important thing I want us to look at yet, and that's this. You can deceive yourself. Now, we've been talking about Satan deceiving, and we've been talking about other people deceiving, but you can deceive yourself. In fact, that's the number one thing the Bible talks about when it talks about deceiving. It talks more about you deceiving yourself than it does about Satan deceiving you or people deceiving you. It talks more about you deceiving yourself. So I pray that God will help us if I live and I feel led to continue. I pray that you'll pray that God will help us to study how we deceive ourselves. May the Lord help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503.